few weeks ago, I visited a friend. We were sitting outside, enjoying the weather with a couple local brews while his daughter played nearby. Suddenly, his daughter yelled, "Dad, come see this!" So we quickly got out of our chairs and hurried over. "Look at this bug," his daughter demanded. "When I poke it, it curls up." My friend smiled and said, "That's a potato bug, sweetheart. You find them under rocks and in the dirt, and you're right, they do curl up when you poke them." Cue the sound of a record scratch on this idyllic scene. A potato bug? Surely my friend was confused. I didn't want to contradict him in front of his child, so when we sat back down, I said casually, "You called that a potato bug? I always called it a pill bug. I've heard it called a roly-poly, but not a potato bug." "It's a potato bug," my friend retorted. I could see this wasn't going anywhere, so I decided to drop it and read more about it later. As it turns out, we were both correct. Those little bugs you find under rocks, Armadillidium vulgare, are called both potato bugs and pill bugs, and roly-polies, and a number of other adorable names too. But when I hear the term potato bug, I think of the potato beetle, Leptinatarsa decamlineata, which is a native to America and Mexico and eats potatoes. It's also a great example of how humans can support the rapid expansion of certain species through the choices we make. The potato bug, or potato beetle, was first observed by American naturalists in 1811 in the Rocky Mountains, where it fed on native buffalo burr, a cousin of our cultivated potatoes. As the gold rush pushed more and more newcomers to the West, they brought with them a number of hardy plants, including our modern cultivated potatoes. As a result, the potato beetle found a new and preferred food source that was readily available and has been eating the heck out of North American potato crops ever since. With a new and abundant food source came the ability to travel. The potato beetle packed its bags and headed east, hitting farm after farm. In 1859, it was officially classified as a pest, but that didn't stop the potato beetle's fast march to the Atlantic Ocean. The potato beetle expanded its range eastward at approximately 85 miles per year, reaching the East Coast by 1874. It traveled to Europe on cargo ships soon after and then reached as far as Asia. Today, it's present in every American state except Alaska, California, Hawaii, and Nevada, as well as across Europe and Asia. Unless you're a farmer or have a vegetable garden of your own, you probably haven't come face-to-face with the potato beetle. The larvae are red and humpback with two rows of black spots on each side. Adult potato beetles are bright yellow with five bold brown stripes along the length of each of its wings. Many say they resemble sunflower seeds. Both larvae and adults feed on the foliage of potatoes and, if left untreated, can completely defoliate plants. In addition to potato plants, they may also feed on eggplant, tomato, pepper, and other plants in the nightshade family. Their feeding can greatly reduce yield and may even kill the plants. The potato beetle is notorious for its ability to rapidly develop resistance to insecticides. Non-chemical control measures such as hand-picking the beetles is encouraged because it is not only good for the plants and the planet, but it will also help to delay the development of resistance. Hand-picking can be particularly effective in reducing the numbers of overwintering beetles coming to the young plants in the spring. Birds, spiders, and other insects can also help control potato beetle populations. I'm a fan of the potato beetle simply because of their adaptability. The potato beetle saw an opportunity and rode potato crop after potato crop to near world domination. They also don't let humans and their chemical pesticides take them down. They're hardy and resilient, and therefore have my admiration. So the next time you see a potato bug, a pill bug, or a roly-poly, don't forget about our voracious friend, the potato beetle. You can learn more about our local plant and animal species by visiting explorenature.org. The Nature of Things is produced by Irvine Nature Center for WIPR. For Irvine Nature Center, I'm Executive Director Brooks Paternot.